Welcome to the podcast study abroad extended version. I'm your host, Jacob Tong. So in the previous episodes, we talked about the idea of study abroad in Europe or to get a college degree in Europe in general. And the next three episodes, we're going to focus on one specific country, which is Germany, where I live. And today, our guest is Lisa. She's currently working for the International Office of the University of Bonn. And we are so happy that she's here to talk to us today. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, Jacob. Nice to see you again.
We met each other how many years ago?
Oh, 10 years, probably. Something like 9, 10 years ago, I guess.
Yeah. And back then, I couldn't speak a word of German. And Lisa actually was the German teaching assistant.
Yeah.
For University of Cologne. So a little bit more about you, so who you are.
Yeah, so that's maybe a little longer story. I'm going to try and tell it short enough. I grew up in the very north of Germany for the first 11 years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then since my dad was with the German Navy, we moved to Naples, Italy for 3 years because he was working for the NATO there.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. See, you're learning something new about me. I went to an international school there, had American teachers. That's where I learned English. Actually, I only had one year of English before I moved there. After that, we moved back to a place a little south of Bonn where I finished my school education. And then I moved on to Cologne. So I started studying at the University of Cologne to become a teacher for primary school for English and maths. And at some point, I realized I wanted to go abroad. So I went to the international office there and they had a really cool program that I had just partnered up with. And they really wanted to send somebody and it was at Allegheny College in Meadville, Pennsylvania. Pretty small place.
Yeah. I also went to school in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. We have something in common there too. And that was a really cool opportunity because I was going to study at that college and also be a teaching assistant for German at the same time. And they had a really nice scholarship for me because of that. So I went there for 2 semesters and I had such a good time there. It was amazing. I learned so much about myself. I met amazing people, had a great time. And I realized maybe teaching kids in primary school wasn't the thing to do for like my rest of my life.
Okay.
But I was pretty far in my studies already. So I was thinking about what could I do if I finished my studies and do something with that. So I went home and came back a couple weeks later to intern at the international office at Allegheny College, which was really nice. I had so much fun that I decided I want to work in that area at some point. So I finished my studies in Germany and then decided to do a master's abroad. So I went to Finland to do my master's in educational leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Because going back to the States to study international education was too expensive and I had already been there and I wanted to experience a different country.
Yeah.
So then Finland it was.
So how expensive was it in Finland?
Studying was also free, like in Germany. Mm-hmm. There's no tuition. But living expenses are a bit higher there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was okay. I could like deal with that. The only other opportunity would have been a private university in Germany, which would have been more expensive.
So. Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. And then shortly after that, I came back. I found my first position at the international office at the University of Bonn, and that's where I'm still at now.
Yeah. So let's start our topic today. Say I'm talking to American listeners now. They have probably no idea about the German school system and how do Germans apply for the German university. So let's start with the Abitur.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I don't think there's a comparison in the States.
No.
Yeah, right?
I don't think so. It's really, really hard to explain also, but I think that's what we're going to try and do here today.
Yeah,
right?
Let's give it a try. So what is a German Abitur?
Basically, it's a high school diploma that allows you to study at a university in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a special thing because in Germany, we have a different system of middle and high school compared to the US, where like everybody stays together basically until they graduate. Whereas in Germany, after primary school, you get divided into 3 levels, depending on how what your grades were like in primary school. There's the ground level, so to say, where you would graduate after 9th grade, and usually the people would continue either with another school education, like a vocational education, or would go on and do like apprenticeship, like a job training for a certain job.
Yeah.
And then the middle level, so-called middle level, you would graduate after 10th grade. And then the higher one is the one you would graduate after 12th or 13th grade, depending on where you go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And that one you would finish with the Abitur, which then allows you to study at a university. And depending on how well you did graduating the other two levels, you can always continue to the higher level and eventually also reach Abitur level if you're doing well enough. So it's really weird and messed up and becomes more complicated looking at all the federal states. We have 16 federal states in Germany, and each state is in charge of their school system. So it's also really hard to compare diplomas and certificates. Yeah.
Yeah. But there, so one question, if I'm an American listener, I'll ask, is an Abitur like GPA? Or, because I know what it is, and it's, I don't think it's a GPA. So how would you compare a German Abitur? So the final grade you have, say in America, you have your final GPA plus your SAT score. And with that, you can apply for colleges in the States. So how would you compare the Abitur with that?
Maybe it's like a combination of both, where you don't have like additional exams you take to be able to apply for university, but it's basically already part of your high school graduation process. So at the end of your high school, you do take quite a few exams in different topics to establish your grades for like the last year, and that adds up together to, so to say, your GPA, which you can then use to apply to university, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's for me, but I don't think it makes sense for, say, American listeners who are not used to the German school system. And I think the main difference maybe is that, like what you said, the GPA, the grade you have, kind of separates from the test you take for SAT, for example. But in Abitur, I think the at the end of your 13th or 12th grade, depends who you're talking to and in which state, they take like a final exam, which is like one third of the grade you have
for Abitur, I think, or something like that. I think it also depends on the federal state, but approximately that.
So you have the GPA from like very similar to the States plus like a final exams. And they're interconnected, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's all taken place in the high school that you go to. You don't go anywhere else.
Yeah.
And it's always usually within the same subject. So once you go to high school, you usually pick like main subjects that you want to focus on more.
Yeah.
That you have more hours of classes every week. And those are usually also the ones you take the exams, or at least the written exams, in at the end of high school. And then you have another oral exam in one of the other topics that you didn't pick as your main focus topic to determine like your level of knowledge.
So how many main subjects do you have?
Yeah, that's also dependent on the federal state, but I could like give you an example of my experience. So I did my high school in, or the Abitur in Rheinland-Palatine, that's south of Bonn, not far away. And there we had to pick three focus courses.
Yeah.
And there were certain rules. I can't fully remember what they were, but like you had to pick like either a language, and then you had to have like a natural science class or something. Like you couldn't just say, oh, I want to do English, German, and French. It couldn't just all be languages, right? So there were certain rules. And then towards the end, you had to pick one of the three to kind of degrade, to put it like on the same level as the other basic courses, which I don't know what the reason is, but that's the way it was. But we still had written exams in all three at the end. And then one of the other basic courses was the oral exam, also depending on what courses you took. So to give you an example, I had English, French, and geography as my main focus courses.
Yeah.
And then I degraded geography at the end, and my oral exam was in maths.
Okay.
To kind of balance it out, you know, I had two languages, and I didn't have any natural sciences or math, so I had to do maths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can compare this maybe with the AP system in America.
Mm-hmm.
To sum it up, it's subject-oriented.
Yeah, exactly.
In general.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But then, I don't know what it's what the case is with APs, whether they determine what you can study with them in the States, because in Germany, it doesn't matter. Like,
it didn't matter which main courses I picked. I could like go ahead and study anything at the university, any topic or any subject I wanted to pick.
I think in the States, if I'm not mistaken, it's a similar case.
Okay.
But the main difference is there is no unified rule,
yeah,
like in Germany. So that's my the second question I'm going to have for you. Like in the States, say if you have five APs with all perfect scores, fives, it doesn't guarantee you to get into Harvard or Yale, the top schools.
Uh-huh.
But in Germany, I think it's a different case, right? If you have 1.0, which is like straight A's or straight fives for AP exams, you can get into any school pretty much.
So in Germany, most universities are state funded, right?
Yeah.
So because of that, they have certain like study spots saved for a certain amount of students.
Yeah.
And now it depends on how many students apply. So let's say we have 200 spots starting each year, and 500 people apply. You need a system who to let in, right? So then what they do is they start looking at your grades from the Abitur, what you're bringing with you.
Yeah.
Say you have 200 spots, but only 180 people apply, anybody gets in. No matter what your grades
were.
Just had to pass. That's all. So it really depends. And for that, we have the so-called NC, the numerus clausus, which determines which grade you need to be able to be guaranteed a spot.
Yeah.
And that's where it gets really tough and competitive, because there are a lot of top subjects that you need a straight A's for it to get in, to even have a chance of getting in.
Okay.
So like medicine, for example, is very competitive. It's really hard to get in.
Doesn't matter for which school.
Yeah, no. And medicine is also a very specific case, because that's, you don't apply to the school, but you apply to any school. And then there's a certain system. I can't even explain how it works, like all over Germany, that decides who goes where and who studies where.
Yeah.
But then, like, for example, for me, when I applied for university, I had to have a 1.9, which is like a minus.
Yeah.
And I had exactly that. So I was able to get in.
Perfect.
Yeah, that was great. But it was also weird, because like, why do you need such good grades to become a teacher? Like, don't you need people who are very motivated to become teachers? Why does the grade determine whether you become a teacher or not? What if you have had less good grades and you're really motivated, but you don't have a chance? So then there's a second thing that comes into place, the so-called waiting semesters.
Yeah.
Which means that once you finish high school and you get your Abitur, every semester after that, you've been waiting to get into university. That also adds up to your grade being moved up a little.
Yeah.
So you have then have a better chance of getting in. So you could decide to study something else first, or start studying something else, and then try to reapply later. Or you go ahead and you do an apprenticeship first, and then you study later on. So yeah, it's like very, I think, different system compared to the US, where I think only your grades count, right?
I don't think the grades count that much.
Okay.
Actually, I think they're in the States. What I remembered was back then, it was 2016, I think. Grades is one component, and then you have the SAT scores.
Yeah, right.
Right? And you have the essay you write, which is also very important, kind of demonstrate who you are.
Which we don't really do here.
You don't do here. I think there are pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
And then extracurricular activities,
yeah,
like sports, whatever, like people do, even just for college.
Yeah.
College application, people do, like, they start a business, either it's successful or not, they put it on their college application, and it always looks good. And there are many other factors. Like, we can go on and on to the point of, like, very political, even talk. We can talk about affirmative action, which is very controversial. Is everything's kind of it's pretty messed. It's a mess. Like you cannot really navigate like in for the German system. Like in German system, it's clear. 1.0, you get into this school, that school for whatever major you want to whatever you want to study. It's clear. It's fair.
Yeah.
And it's very it's not flexible.
Yeah.
Right. True. But in the States, it's very flexible to the point that it's not fair anymore to a certain degree. See my point? And I think that's how I would sum it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think we could talk about this more and more. Like, I just hinted at that. I feel sometimes that it's not very fair here because, you know, as I said, why not let somebody else in who's more motivated to become a teacher, for example, or a doctor, than somebody who just has the grades and wants to do it for the money or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's no right or wrong. It's really, I think it all has its pros and cons.
For sure.
Yeah. Like usual.
Yeah. Like, we're trying to, you know, tell the listeners how things are instead of commenting on that. So let's leave that aside.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So my next question would be, since you work for international office, you are an international office staff of the University of Bonn, and you also studied at Allegheny College.
Yeah.
How do you see the differences?
I think something I need to say beforehand, like, the University of Cologne, where I studied in Germany, was like 40,000 students, right?
Yeah.
And then Allegheny College had like, I think, 3,000 students. So the sizes were a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the biggest differences was that in Germany, when you study, you are very independent and you have to be very proactive with basically everything and self-organized.
Yeah.
So whereas in the States, I felt like it was more like, it felt more like school, being back in school.
Yeah.
Like having my classes almost every day, like same classes, having lots of homework to do, having teachers who would like know your life story basically, and talk to you about what's going on in your life. Whereas in Germany, you would basically just be a matriculation number.
Yeah.
And the professors don't really know you.
Yeah.
Unless you maybe work for them, like as a student assistant, which is very rare. So, that was a completely different experience. Like,
did you like it?
Yeah, I did like it. At the same time, it was really weird, especially in the beginning. Like, you know, I just knew studying in Germany. I had never like studied at a university somewhere else or college.
Yeah.
So that was my first experience going somewhere else, and I kind of expected it to be like quite similar.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was kind of a culture shock, but it was also very interesting to see and experience it and to know, you know, like have both kind of extremes in that sense, that on the one hand you have like homework and teachers knowing you and caring for you, and on the other hand you're just like somebody studying and you're taking an exam at the end of the semester. And that's, you know, also a difference, where in Germany usually you go to core classes and then usually towards the end of the semester you either have an exam or you write a term paper, or maybe during the semester at some point you give a presentation to receive your credit points and your grade. Whereas in the States, it was like I had to give every week or every couple of weeks, I had to hand in like a paper, like a short paper or some other homework I did. And that would all add up to my grade at the end of the semester.
Yeah.
So that's also something I think in Germany, which leads to you being very independent and self-organized, because you have to make sure that you study the workload towards like all the way up to till the end of the semester and you keep up with the coursework. Whereas in the States, you know, we have like these midterm exams even. Like, we don't really have that here.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the differences.
And how about the international students at the University of Bonn, since you work for the international office and you were an international student in the States?
Yeah.
What are how's the current policy for international students? Do they have to pay? I know the answer, but just want to ask. And are there a lot of international students, and where they come from?
Mm. So international students, at least in the state we are in, which is North Rhine-Westphalia, are treated the same way as German students. They do not have to pay a tuition fee. There is one state in Germany that asks for a tuition fee from people who are from outside the European Union.
Yeah.
But I think I heard they also are going to get rid of that law. So soon they should also.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's really great.
Like in Wittenberg, right?
Exactly. In the south.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, because you were in Heidelberg, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, they don't have to pay a tuition fee. We just have a so-called semester fee that every student has to pay each semester. And right now it's around 300 euros.
Yeah.
And it covers like advising services, it covers the student, the student general students committee, which represents the students' wishes within like the university and supports them. And it also covers like a public transportation ticket. So it's a really good deal.
Yeah.
And then at the University of Bonn, we have around 35,000 students in total.
Yeah.
And about 5,000 are international students.
Okay.
So, yeah, we would like to have more, of course. I think everybody would like to have more international students because it's really nice to have a diversity on campus. And for us, at the moment, most students come from China.
Okay.
That's the biggest student group. And I think that's also for all of Germany the case. Most international students are from China. But there's one group of students who are slowly catching up and who are supposed to become the biggest student group at some point in the near future, which are students from India.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have more and more students from India coming in. But yeah, I think we could say we have students from all countries all over the world, basically, yeah. Almost.
How about Americans?
Yeah, it's actually not that many. I did look it up today. I would love to have more, so do come. We have about 75 right now enrolled at the University of Bonn, out of which we have 20 who are doing their PhD with us right okay. now. 45 are graduate students or on graduate level, and 11 are on undergraduate level. And 3 are doing the exchange right now with us.
Okay, yeah. So not that many.
No. Not that many.
Yeah.
And I did read just recently that we used to, like in Germany, we used to have more students from the States in Germany, but the numbers decreased. I don't know what the reasons are. Could be different reasons. Would be interesting to know, but yeah, why not have more?
Yeah, I think maybe we can cover the reason in the next episode we do, which we're going to cover. How to apply for German university, and it's going to get obvious. I mean, spoiler alert, is the language, of course.
Yeah.
Is the Germans do speak German. And yeah, so one more question for today. Mm-hmm. What's the current policy on international students? I know that is a topic, especially in the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of criticism that, you know, there are too many international students in the Netherlands, and the Dutch language is getting lost because everything's offered in English. How's it like in Germany? Do the German politicians see this as an opportunity that more students want to come to Germany? Mm. Or do they see that this more like a threat?
Yeah. I mean, of course, it always depends who you talk to. We also have pretty right-wing people who don't want more people from abroad here. But I think most people are open to having more people from abroad coming to Germany, especially because we have a population that's slowly decreasing. And we have a shortage of skilled workers here in Germany.
Yeah.
So something that the DAAD, which is the German Academic Exchange Service, actually just recently proposed to the government is to focus more on international students, bringing them in and having them stay in Germany after their studies to work in Germany. Because we do need more people working here, in professionals in different businesses. At the same time, though, they're really pointing out that we should make sure there's no brain drain. Right. So that means not taking all the skilled people from their home country away, because, of course, they also need skilled people in their country working for the country to be running. So to kind of find a good balance in that and try to find good international students coming in, staying and working with us. And then, of course, something you already hinted at is always the language barrier. I think that's also one of the biggest challenges because working in Germany, most of the places you do need to speak German. Which makes it really hard for students who are, for example, just coming for a master's that is completely taught in English and then want to stay. They really need to work really hard to learn the language, which is also not very easy to learn, right? You know?
I know. Yeah. It's not impossible, though.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not the brightest brain in my class. Lisa knows that. I was really bad.
You're saying that?
I do know I'm not the brightest, but I put into a lot of effort, and that's how it goes for languages.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, all the universities in Germany, they're really putting an effort to help their international students to learn the language. They're offering all sorts of language courses. We, for example, we have a language course that starts 1 month before the semester actually starts to give students the opportunity to come to Germany already a little early, get settled, learn the language, and then start classes and keep learning during the semester. Right. At the same time, we're trying to accommodate more people who don't speak German to come and experience Germany, at least, you know, for a semester or two. And we have the so-called International Classroom Bonn at the University of Bonn, which is which brings together all sorts of classes that are taught in English that cover some topic about Germany. be it politics, geography, history, whatever you can think of, to, you know, give students the opportunity to pick from those courses and see what we have to offer for them in English, but they can at the same time still learn about the country that they're living in right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I think I can speak for like all the universities in Germany that are really supporting their international students with that.
Sounds great.
Yeah, so like all in all, I would say like we do want more international students in Germany. And I think more and more people are seeing that we actually need them to be able to have our country running with the shortage of skilled workers that we're dealing with already now, and which is going to get worse if we don't do anything about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, like what you said before, it depends on who you talk to, who do you talk to, and because you do work for the University of Bonn, and I think you do represent university community as a whole. So
yeah,
it's great to hear.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I think that's
thank
it for
you.
Today's episode. See you guys next time. Bye-bye. So that's it for the episode. Thank you so much for listening. And in the next episode, I'm going to cover how to apply for German universities as an international student. Or to be more specific, how can an American student apply for a German university with a high school diploma from the United States? So I'm very looking forward to the next episode with Lisa. And if you want to learn more about how to apply colleges in Europe, please feel free to subscribe, Study Abroad Extended Version. I'm your host, Jacob Tong, again. Thank you so much for your support, and see you guys next time.